Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 this evening. We started back several weeks ago a series of messages related to Christian friendship. And we are looking at the difference between mere friendship and Christian fellowship. There is something distinct about Christians joining together in Christ as opposed to friends meeting in this world. There is a depth of unity, there is a depth of connection that is not found in mere friendships in this world, and we need to understand that and know that. Though friendships can be very dear, I watched a documentary on the final men who were on the USS Arizona. There's down to two. And only one of them could go this year for the remembrance of Pearl Harbor there in Hawaii. And there's just two men that are left. And the two men were gotten together earlier last year to kind of do a final interview. One of them is not doing very well physically, and they were doing that. And they talked about their friendship and the connection that they had because they both served on the USS Arizona. Both of them were thrown into the water, which saved their lives. The blast from that bomb that was dropped blew them into the water. They were both injured, but both of them were rescued and survived, as many of them, over 1,400 of them, died, and their bodies are still entombed inside that battleship. One of the men said, you know, the battleship's been leaking oil since the bombs went off, and there's over 1 million gallons of oil still inside that thing, and he referred to it and said, that's the ship's tears leaking upward to cry for the dead that were lost there. And both of them, whenever they were interviewed, were weeping as they talked about all their friends that they had on them. Now, they've not known these friends in 70-something years. They haven't been around them. They were snatched away in a moment with a massive explosion that took their lives. But they referred to them as their friends. Now, that certainly is unique. Those that work together and those that serve together have a unique friendship that's certainly dear, it's precious, but it's nothing like what we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Because you see, they had only a short time together aboard ship. We're going to have all eternity together. Now, some people say, well, that's going to be horrible. I got to be around so-and-so for all eternity. Well, one thing about it is that you'll be delivered from whatever angst there is between you. We're supposed to let the grace of God deal with that here upon this earth. Amen. We're supposed to let God do its work, and we're going to be dealing with that about how to maintain Christian fellowship. But 1 John 3, verses 10 through 18 are some of the dearest verses that we have in the Bible about Christian fellowship. And I'm going to be dealing with that tonight, and we'll get back into our passages that we were dealing with. But I want to share with you these thoughts before we read these verses of Scripture, because this is important for us to keep in mind. Christian relationships are the most important aspect of our lives. Can you say that tonight? I'm not asking for a response, but can we say that? Yes, Christian relationships are the most important aspect of my life. A lot of times they're not. And they should be. We have all of these things that we put up in our minds about why we shouldn't fellowship. And the Bible, we've been dealing with the things that the Bible says we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We should have no fellowship with those who are following the world. The Bible talks about even disobedient brethren. We're not to have fellowship with them until they come back to faith. Or come back to a proper walk with God. Sometimes there's a separation that's required. But we don't stop loving them. And this is where we get into trouble sometimes. Separation turns into hatred. That is sinful. You heard it right here. When you stop loving someone that may be disobedient to Christ, you stop loving them and it turns into hatred, you are committing sin. The whole purpose of the separation is to bring them back. Bring them back into fellowship. Why are we separated? It's because of this. And we want to get things right so we can welcome them back into fellowship. We don't stop loving them. That's the uniqueness about Christian fellowship. Because we are going to spend all eternity with them if they know Christ. We're going to be spending our time in glory, honoring the Son. And we'll be in perfect fellowship with each other. Right now, we're in partial fellowship, but it's our task, it's our duty, it's our joy to fellowship with one another. Now notice this. As Christians, we have become brothers and sisters in the family of God through what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed His blood for me. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You start feeling proud, you start getting a little bit of arrogance in you, you better go back and realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sinful, rotten self. He did that out of love for you. We're nothing. Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. The Apostle Paul, the majority of the New Testament, came through his ministry to us through the Holy Spirit of God. And he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. You know what? He kept things in perspective. He understood. He understood what we all are before God. Now, the Bible gives these relationships a special distinction beyond mere friendship. A Christian, we need to understand and know this. That's why it's so important that you take a moment to write down prayer requests whenever we mention them. And you take the time during the week to pray. That's important. Well, I don't have time to do that. Oh, you don't have time for Christian fellowship? What's wrong? What's wrong? That you don't have time. The problem is you're not making time. You're spending all your time, you're spending all your capital doing your own thing. God wants us to be spending our life's capital on things that matter. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to spend all eternity with each other. And we've got needs in this life, and we need to uphold each other in prayer. The Bible gives these relationships a special distinction beyond mere friendship. That's because bonds between believers can develop a degree of spiritual closeness that far surpasses the limitations of natural human relationships. Christian relationships enjoy biblical Christian fellowship because someone is the glue. Who is the glue? Yeah. By Him, all things consist. That word consists there is the word adhere. They're joined together. Well, how can I have a special relationship with others that are of like precious faith? It's because there's an adherence through Jesus Christ. It's a glue. Yesterday, I've got a scar to prove it. I was working on a foosball table for summer camp that got busted all to pieces, and I put it all back together again. I was putting the screws back in and getting all fixed up, and I decided that I wanted to get injured in the process, so I took the drill and proceeded to punch it into my hand. That didn't feel too good, and I bled like a stuck pig for about 30 minutes and finally got a bandage on there wrapped up, and then I finished the job because I had to glue a final board on the top, a piece that had broken loose, and I bought some of that monkey grip. Anybody work with monkey grip? All right, you better work fast. You don't have time to think about it. All right, you squirt the glue out, and I got it all the way around, and I took that board and I fought it down in there and got it down in there, pushed it, and I put some weights on top of it. I came back later, and it was hard as a rock. I mean, it said it's not going anywhere. Everything else on that foosball table will fall apart, and that board will still be glued on the top of that piece there because that glue is monkey grip. I mean, it is on there to stay. That is some powerful adhesive. I know something that's more powerful than that. It's the adhesiveness of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the joining together of other believers We are part of His church. We are part, now get this, of His body. Now, why is it that we allow so many things to tear us apart? It's because of sin and selfishness. Now, I want to get into this passage of Scripture here. As we look at 1 John 3:10 through 18, it's one of the greatest passages, I believe, on Christian fellowship. And our fellowship together in Christ is a special distinction beyond mere friendships. Understand that. So, number one, let's look at verses 10 through 11 in this passage of Scripture. In this the children of God are manifest. All right? This is how things show forth that we are children of God. What are the things that are manifested by the fact that I'm a child of God and the children of the devil? There's a big distinction between the two, John says. And this is what he says. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, number one. Number two, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now let that soak in. God, in His Word, chose to bring up two things that tell whether you're part of the family of God or not. And what two things does He mention? The first of all is not doing right. And the second thing is not loving your brother. Now that is a very important thing to know. There are some people that you cannot get along with, period. Isn't that amazing how there are people in this world that you just cannot get along with? You do the best that you can. And I've met a lot of them through the years. I've had some that I've had to deal with in the sports program. I've had some that I've had to deal with in the school. I've had some of them that I've had to deal with at church that just were hard to get along with. They had their way of doing things, and if you didn't do it their way, they let you know. All right? And not only let you know, but they let you know more than once. All right? Now, I look at life as too short to let it just sit there and eat at me. I'm just not going to let it happen. I used to let that happen, but not anymore. I turned it over to God. There are just some people that you can't help. Only God's going to be able to do that. You point them and say, now listen, this is what you need to do. But if they're set in their ways and they're going to do their own thing, then they're just going to have to go their way. But I'm not going to let it twist my life all up and let me get all bitter about it. That can happen. Don't ever let a root of bitterness get started in your life. You know how hard it is to get rid of roots? Boy, I'm going to tell you, there's some things in my yard that I thought I have dug up, and they keep working their way back up. Thorns, thorn bushes, thistles that grow up, they got those big root systems, and you dig them out, and the next thing you know, another one pops up to take its place. Don't let the root of bitterness get in your life. It will destroy your testimony. He says that one of the manifest signs of being a child of God is that you love one another. Let me just give you the Greek word there. I think I have it. Yes. Alleluia. What does that sound like? Alleluia. Yeah, the same root word. All right? It's the idea of one another. Something in common, one with the other. And it's used 67 times in the New Testament. And it's used several times in this passage of Scripture here. We are to love, alleluia, one another. We have something in common, and we're to love them. And every time the word love is used there, it's always the same one, agape. Agapao is the root word that's used there. And it's the idea of loving from the will. There's a big difference between loving somebody just because you want to be nice and tender, and then loving somebody that is hard to love and doing it anyway. Just a matter of the will. I'm going to love them no matter how they treat me. You know how hard that is to do? That's a matter of the will. That's what God did for you, by the way, and for me. Air arrogant, sinful creatures of God. And God chose to love us in spite of our sin. God chose to send His only begotten Son to die in our place on Calvary's tree that we might have redemption. That's a matter of the will. He chose to love us. And you know what He's called us to do? To do the same thing. Isn't that interesting? He's called us to love one another. Let's go on in this same thing. I'll go back to the previous one. Verses 12 through 15. Notice this in chapter 3. Let's go back to verse 11. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. That is plugged in right here in all this talk of loving one another. Marvel not if the world hates you. The world's not going to love you.
Well, I don't know if I can handle that or not.
Let me tell you something about this world. It doesn't love us. We get it all the time in this ministry. I get letters. I get notes. There's social media posting. People just be awful and say terrible things, and they know nothing about anything, but they just post it on there because they hate anything having to do with Christianity. They despise our Christ. And so He says here, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't spend all your time worrying about that, though. You can get pretty discouraged. You can be walking around with your knuckles dragging. The world hates me. I'm just being nice to everybody and the world hates me. Marvel not if the world hates you. It hated the Savior. You follow the Savior, He's going to hate you too. That's just the nature of the world. But we are not to hate one another. Let's go on. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How do we know? Everybody read those next verses. Because we love the brethren. That's how I know. Do you realize that God has given to us in His Word a standard by which we can judge whether we are in Christ or not? That's what it's saying there. How do we know that we're children of God? Because we love the brethren, fellow Christians. We act our will acts in their behalf to love them in spite of all their obnoxious ways. In spite of how they treat me, I love them anyway. That's what God has called us to do. And if I can do that, it's a sure sign that I belong to God, because that's exactly what He did for us. That's one of the root connections that we have. Look at the third one here. Let's go on in our reading, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. A person that has a murderous heart doesn't have the love of God abiding in him. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He just keeps ratcheting up the points here, does He not? How far do we love other brothers and sisters in Christ? Okay? Well, I promise I will smile at other Christians on Sunday. Oh boy, that's a stretch for you. I hope you can do that. I'm going to smile at other Christians. Put on that big old smile. Hey, hate your guts. How you doing, brother? You know, what is that? How far? Do you realize that God puts the standard that He put for Himself? How far did God go? He sent His only begotten Son to die in our place. How far are we to go for other brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm willing to give my life for another brother or sister in Christ. Do you realize that many Christians today are not even close to understanding that role? That we're willing to give ourselves for others. that willingness to die for another brother or sister in Christ is not natural. It's what? Supernatural. It's a work of God's grace in our hearts and lives to be willing to die for others, willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. But we're not done. Look at verses 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You got a brother or sister in Christ. They've got some needs. Well, I'm not helping them. They're not nice to me. Oh, there's the standard, right? They're not nice to you, and so I'm not helping them. Anybody give me a Bible verse that says that that's the case? Oh, no, there isn't one. Our job is to sense the needs of brothers and sisters, and if we have the means to help, what should we do? The Bible gives the picture of a storehouse. We go into the storehouse of what we've got, and we take it out, and we take it over here, and we help this person. The reason we don't is we have this whole list of things that we pile up of the reasons why we're not going to. But the basic reason is this: I'm not going to part with my stuff in my storehouse. That's the basic reason. All the rest are excuses. I love my storehouse. I worked hard for my storehouse. I spent a lot of hours getting this all compiled, and then this person over here that didn't do that. I'm supposed to help them? Yes. Yes. You see, we're supposed to be selfless, not selfish. I'm talking about things that become between saints where friendship suffers because we're not following the Bible. Notice what else he says. Verse 18, my little children, technion in the Greek language, my young children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but how? But in deed and in truth. Honestly, with action. You know, we are professionals. And I'll close with this. We're professionals at smooth-talking people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, brother, I am so sorry about your situation. You see this all the time in social media. They'll put the, oh, I'm so sorry for what this happened to you. Okay, how are you going to show your sorrow? Is it just empty words that you typed out? Or is it going right on your prayer list and you go right before the throne of grace and say, Lord, undertake for my brother over here. They've got some difficult things that they're going through. Lord, help me to show compassion and to help them. And not only just do it in words, but how? In deed and in truth. We substitute the tongue and the words for action. That is not love. That is not Christian fellowship. That's what the world does. That's what the world does. Be warmed and filled. There's no action in that. It sounds pretty impressive. Be ye warmed and filled. I hope for you that you'll be warm in the cold times and that your stomach will be full in the times in which there's no food. Boy, am I a good person or not? I'm wishing them to be warm when they're cold. I'm wishing them to be full whenever their stomachs are empty. What have I done for them? Zippo. Zero with the ring rubbed out. Nothing. But words. What does God say in His Word here? That's not real. That's not genuine. We're going to get into about 10 different things from the Word of God about how Christian fellowship looks, what things we're to avoid, and what things we are to do. And it's going to be in stark contrast to the world's concept of friendship. The world's concept of friendship is based almost merely on play and on empty words and things of that nature. That's not Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship is real. It's love in action. It's in deed and in truth. And Lord willing, we're going to see that in our continuing study. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture that describes for us what Christian fellowship really looks like. It's not empty words. It's not platitudes. It's not talking sweet and tender. That's empty. True love is concerned about the individuals that even though we may not like them personally, we love them because we're supposed to. It's an act of the will. I pray that you might work in our hearts and lives, that you would bring reality to our Christian fellowship, and realize that we're going to spend all eternity together if we know Jesus Christ. We're going to spend all eternity together, and our joy and our fellowship will be centered in the person of Jesus Christ, and that's what it ought to be right now. Deliver us, Father, from selfishness, foolishness, foolish pride, walls that we erect between people because we don't like them for whatever reason. Lord, help us to get real in our Christian faith, and that the Holy Spirit of God would teach us the Word in our relationships with each other. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.